Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you so much for joining the call this morning. I want to say happy holidays to everyone, and I just want to thank you all for your support throughout this year. I've been very blessed, and I hope that you have been having a wonderful year as well. This morning, we have a great guest and a very interesting topic. I know some of you might be surprised. I do a lot of health shows, some political shows, some cultural things, but I think that astrology is something that can be used in your daily life, and I wanted to bring a good friend of mine, Samuel F. Reynolds. He's a practicing astrologer in New York. He's been trained with some of the most notable minds in the astrological world, Alan Oaken, Robert Zola, Christopher Warnock. He has a level 3 certificate from the National Council for Geocosmic Relations. We'll talk to him about that. He is a host of Zodiac Lounge, a New York City-based spiritual bazaar, where he brings together various healers and seers to serve in economically challenged communities. And let me tell you, our communities need as much help as they can get. Additionally, he's a co-founder of the Astrology Career Institute, and his website is www.astrologycareerinstitute.com. And hopefully you'll be able to check that out after the show. Good morning, Samuel.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. Are you getting snow in New York already?
I think if there's some flakes starting to fall, I think more so in the Bronx, but I don't see any in Bed-Stuy yet, but that's what I hear.
Yeah, well, I'm in Philadelphia, and we already have almost about 4 inches of snow, I believe,
wow.
and the tires are getting smaller on the cars.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm ready for the snow. You know. I'm
okay.
Ready
get
for
ready.
Buffalo, so you know, 15 inches is no big deal.
No big deal, right? Well, let's start off with how did you get involved in astrology?
Well, there's a couple different pathways. One was I had a friend who was really into astrology, and I am born what's called on the cusp between Scorpio and Sagittarius, and she swore up and down that I was a Scorpio. Now, if you had to choose between being a bug or an archer, or a centaur, right, you're going to choose
right.
a centaur. So I was like, no, I'm a Sagittarius. Well, I happened to be looking for a particular kind of book, an occultic book, actually, and I went to a bookstore in North Philly when I was living in Philly. And I met an astrologer there, and he, you know, looked at my chart quickly, and he said, well, you're a Scorpio. I was like, okay. I felt a little deflated, but I was like, okay, now I'm curious, because I was very skeptical of astrology, not of tarot, not of anything else or numerology. I knew about those arts, but I was really skeptical about astrology.
Well, yeah, and I will tell, let me tell the audience, he's very analytical, okay? He's not like a gullible type of person that, you know, just all of a sudden is drawn. He wants to know facts and figures. You need to show him black and white. So
right.
go ahead.
Yeah, because I'm a former academic. So, you know, it was all about like, well, really, what does this mean? Well, I had a mind-blowing experience with the astrologer. He could tell me things about my family life that were not random. You know, most psychics, people you go to, they say fairly random but consistent things. You good
mm-hmm.
person. Your heart been broken. You need, you know, to have love in your life. The opposite, right?
Right,
so
right.
Really focused in on, like, your daddy was doing so-and-so when your mama was carrying you, and this happened, and, you know, this happened with your brother, and your brother was involved. And he didn't necessarily get all the details, and I don't mean all the details right. Like, he didn't have the full picture. But
mm-hmm.
he had enough of the picture that I was blown away. So
wow.
I thought it was a trick. I said,
yeah,
okay.
Like did somebody else go talk to him beforehand? I mean, you know, like.
No. No, right, exactly. Yeah. That's why I was thinking, like, you know, like, well, this can't, no one else knew what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I had just learned that recently. Essentially, I'll have full disclosure. My father was a Rolling Stone at one point in his life.
And that's what came up in the reading.
And that's what came up. And my brother somehow, you know, saw him and told my mother what's complicated my pregnancy.
Oh, wow. So this is what
he was young, and he didn't know what he was talking about.
Mm.
So the astrologer was saying, I see your brother involved and your father. Well, he definitely seems like he wasn't the most faithful guy, or is the most faithful guy. And somehow your brother's involved. I don't quite understand how, but, you know, I see the brother. So that's what he was saying, and I just told you what this real story was.
Right,
so
right.
Not that much disparate, you know. So
yeah.
I was really... I had to find out, what is astrology? So I went on a 10-year hunt, literally, testing with various charts, like your own, and,
mm-hmm.
and it made sense to people. And
now, tell me about this certification that you have, this organization, this National Council for Geocosmic Relations. You have level 3. I mean, what does that mean?
Okay, so the National Council for Geocosmic Research is actually an organization that specializes in educating the public about astrology. And what they have is a certification program where you take 4 levels of exams. Now, I've done 3 levels of exams, but there's a 4th level. And basically, that's just like the equivalent of like a PhD. Now, there are all kinds of organizations, though, that do a similar thing. I even have an organization that certifies that's more on the ground, like, mine would be the equivalent of giving a bachelor, master's, or MBA, because I actually talk more about the business of astrology and also astrology. Whereas NCGR, they focus more on, you know, it can appeal to house husbands and wives who want to learn astrology but may want to, you know, study it casually, may just be content to practice a little bit.
Amongst friends and things like
amongst
that.
Friends.
But
yes. There are a lot of professional astrologers who use that certification program, but they may or may not practice.
Right, right. Well, astrology goes back a long way. I mean, we were talking right before the show, you know, Babylonian period. There's astrology in India with the Vedic religion. In Egypt, I guess that's where maybe horoscopic astrology started. And then we have medieval Europe and the Renaissance with the Kabbalah. And Jews and Christians, a lot of people may not want to hear that, but yes, there's a little thing going on, a little mixture going on. Chinese astrology, feng shui. Talk a little bit about the history of astrology. Politicians have used it. Great leaders, you know, have used it to help guide countries and states. Talk a little bit about the history.
Astrology is a global project, and it's been in development around the world in almost every culture that we know of for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And a lot of people think there is only one form of astrology, but different cultures have developed different aspects of astrology, some based literally on the position of the stars, some based on particular planets, like the Mayan calendar that people are so excited about in 2012 is based on the heliacal rise of Venus and also on a certain kind of count. And that count ends December 21st, 2012. But a lot of people say, okay, this is going to be the end of the world, but I don't believe that. But that's a different conversation.
Okay,
but
we'll get to that because, you know, people want to know, is the end of the world coming to 2012?
Right.
And before 2012, will they find a job? But anyway, seriously,
right.
Go ahead.
Right, exactly. But what we call Western astrology or modern astrology has been in development that has its origins in ancient Kemet or Egypt, that goes into Babylon, or what we call Babylon, which was Mesopotamia, Sumeria. And, you know, people want to identify, well, it started in Kemet, or it started in Babylonia or Chaldea. But really, it was more fluid than that. There was a lot of kind of movement between different civilizations, and each civilization contributed something greatly to the development of astrology.
Now, how did we get from, you know, that era to now we have I know a lot of people go and they have their different signs. Like you said, you were on the cusp. You thought the Scorpio said. Where did this Aries and Taurus and Pisces, these names come from? What most people presently know, the 12 signs. Where did that come from, or how did
that
begin?
Ancient. Okay. Well, the actual words are Greek Latin, right? You know, Scorpionis, Capricornus, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual descriptions of the 12 signs, because there were many more signs and constellations used in ancient astrology, but where we get those kind of designations for the goat, the sea goat, or we get like the idea of the scorpion, that
mm-hmm.
actually does go back to Chaldea.
Wow.
And, and there's signs that were introduced along the way. Like, we know that Libra is a relatively, you know, new sign. And when I say new, I mean in the last thousands of years.
Right.
And it's not like it just crept up. So it does go back to Chaldea. There may be some more artifacts that document it in other parts of Africa. But in terms of documentation, what we can say actually is on paper, or what we can find, a lot of those begin in Chaldea. And they use different words for them, obviously.
Right.
But how we know those words now comes from the transmission to the Greeks, from Hellenistic astrology, and down into the Roman era and into the modern era.
So now, what are some myths that people have about astrology that you want to tell us aren't true? Like, what are some things that people believe, but you're like, that's not really the case?
Well, particularly, you know, focusing in on the Black community, a lot of people, and I would say cultural communities, because, you know, it could be Latino as well, a lot of people think that astrology is antithetical to religion or divine will or even free will, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, we just mentioned about the Jews and the Christians and the Kabbalah and all that, just some intertwining there. So, yeah, speak about that. Because a lot of people are scared of astrology. They think, yeah, like you said, they're going against God. That's like the devil's work. I mean, what's the deal?
Well, and I can speak on that because I had a particular experience with that. I actually used to be a fundamentalist preacher. I went into the ministry when I was 12 years old and preached until I was 19. So I have sermons where I preached against astrology. And that's
wow.
Everything I preached against. And it was a transformation for me to see how astrology is not from the devil, and it is not antithetical to God. You can use anything to become idolatrous. And idolatry is really about where you displace the divine for something else that seems to be real. So if I talk about Scorpio more than divine will, then yeah, I'm committing idolatry.
Mm.
But the real heart of the matter is that astrology can position you to get closer to God. And I always bring
Can you say that? That's an interesting phrase. You said that astrology can get you closer to God.
Yeah, astrology can bring you closer to God. Like a lot of Christians, I talk to a lot of people, and they will say to me, well, you know, the Bible talks against astrology. And I usually ask them just one initial question, which is, so when the Magi, the three wise men, as it's appropriate for this time, came looking for the Christ, how did they first seek him? Was it through Scripture? No. It was through a star.
Mm.
And we believe now it was a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction that happened around the time that Christ would have been born. So they were looking for a certain evidence of wisdom that had materialized on Earth. And by virtue of looking at your chart and studying what nature has presented before you, you can access more divine grace by praying, concentrating, and developing yourself rather than just thinking like, oh, well, this is what nature has given and this is what I must become. That's not what divine work is about.
So when you give someone a reading, I mean, you've done readings for me. You did one very long time ago, more than 20, maybe 20 years ago,
right.
You did a reading. I still have that reading, as I told you earlier. I still have it in a folder. I keep it. And now you recently did a reading for me, just want to tell the audience, and he sent me something that was like 12 pages long.
Right.
And it really went in depth yet, and still, as I think you were mentioning earlier with the astrology you went to see, there was truths in there. Not specific, like, you know, at 2 o'clock on Tuesday morning, you know,
right.
You know, you woke up and the ceiling fell down on you or something.
Right.
But things and that I could see about myself. It talked about my relationships with, you know, people, my aspirations and things like that. And that's what a lot of people are seeking when they go to an astrologer. Like, you know, am I going to get this woman? You know, will I get fired from my job? Is my husband cheating on me? But once they get the reading, you know, like you were mentioning, what can they do with it? Because it may not be like 100% specific, you know. What can they do once they get the reading? How can they use it in their life? Where can they go? What's the next step for them?
Astrology can provide essentially peace of mind in understanding how you are working for and against yourself. So a person may come to me and they may say, like, I have been endeavoring to work as a lawyer for the last 10 years. Is this a profession for me? And I can look at the testimony, what I call the testimony of the chart, and say, like, well, there's more of a creative spirit and a sense of freedom that you need to have, and you're actually a globe trying to fit yourself into a square box. And you're doing this to fulfill a societal obligation that is not your lot in life. So they can stop working against themselves. They can actually think about more how they can receive the blessings in their lives rather than how they are trying to avoid the curses or the challenges. And so astrology can answer two very specific questions. What is promised to me according to nature's gift? And I can explain that in a minute. And when will it happen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the key thing. When is it going to happen so I can be prepared? You know, I'm a little nervous if you're telling me that, you know, I might need to leave my job. What is my family going to think? But at the same time, I think the key thing you mentioned is, you know, being, I guess, on a grateful for the blessings that you do currently have. And I think that's a very important thing that people need to be aware of, that you have so many things in your life that others don't. Maybe you don't see it because you're focusing on what you don't have. But I would agree to focus on what you do have and move forward with that. But now, what's this nature's phrase?
I mean, the law of attraction that a lot of people talk about starts way before you're actually born. So what happens when you're born as a soul incarnated into form, just as the word became flesh, is that you, in your divinity, selected the most appropriate time that matches what you really are. So you draw some measure of the circumstances, not all of them, but a lot of circumstances to you that help and challenge and work with the development of your character.
Now, does that not go against what you were saying? In terms of people being fearful, and maybe in the black community, a lot of people are involved in Christianity. Maybe they're involved in Islam. Is that going against those religions? Because is it not God's will? Where does that come in?
It is God's will. Believe that the nature of how we describe God is far more vast than we think. We like to talk about God is always separate from us. But as we're in God's bosom or the divine itself, however you want to look at it, you are part of that process of creation. And you didn't just, you know, you were at creation from the beginning. You are at creation still now. And I do believe you'll be at the end of creation if such a thing is to exist. So when you elect a time to be born, you can say, okay, well, God did it, or I did it from the divine perspective. For me, those things don't seem to be that different.
Right. Now, what do you need in order to do a reading for someone? What are the information that you need?
What I need is their birth date, which most people know, and their birthplace, which is the city, you know, not the township, parish, but literally where were you born. And most important is the time, and I'll tell you why. The time of birth is really critical because, you know, you could look at someone's chart for, like, they're born on a particular day. And that describes what are the general energies that will be reflected in the life. But to know where and how that person receives those energy can only really be clearly seen through knowing the birth time. And that's establishing something that we call the ascendant, which is the rising sign, and the midheaven, and the actual position of the moon. So the moon actually is usually generally in a sign for 2.5 days. So there's a good chance, unless it's changing sign, you're going to have a particular moon. For instance, I know you have a moon in Virgo. But if you have been born, let's say, if you instead of telling me you were born at 2 a.m., you told me you were born at 10 p.m., then you wouldn't be a moon in Virgo. You would be a moon in Libra. So
wow. So that short, real quick, time change could just really mess up everything.
Yeah, depending on, you know, where the moon is. And more importantly, for the ascendant, that changes every 2 hours. So in order to really know, depending on, you know, the time of year, so really, you know, those every 2 hours, you know, if you tell me the difference between, oh, maybe I was born at 10 or I was born at 2, that's a big difference. So the closer that we can get to the time, the better we can match with your experience of Earth and how you experience Earth.
Now, you know, people probably wondering what's happening in the new year. What do you see in the new year in general? Maybe just let's talk about America. Do you have any insights about what's going to be coming up for our country in terms of maybe the war or the economy? Maybe even just relationships in general in terms of marriage, is that going to go on a rise? What can you tell us for 2010?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of different, those topics are really hot. And I'll start with the relationship piece. Saturn has just gone into this fall into Libra for the first time in 29 years. And when Saturn is in Libra, it brings the idea, the notions of relationship to the fore. Literally, how we deal with each other, both on a day-to-day, but also the idea of intimacy. So we are going to go through a reevaluation period as a country with the notion of marriage and seeking to stabilize that. I think that's also going to be fueled by the changes in our economy. Now, what I'm about to say, I'm going to be very direct about it, is that America is going to become a poorer nation. I mean, the bottom line, what we see.
You know, I've heard people saying this, that, you know, if we don't get ourselves together as a country, that we may become a third world country in the future.
Well, I don't know if we'll ever become completely first world with the immense resources that this country still has.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in terms of the prosperity it's enjoyed as the American century, I believe that's over. And there's a number of astrological reasons for that, from Pluto returning back to its original position in the founding of America. Pluto's now in Capricorn. So Capricorn deals with, you know, how we've built our empire, how we've built the notion of American excess. And it's the reckoning time. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, Bernanke, you know, just got, time person of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's way too soon. Because, you know, I think come February and March, we're going to see some juggling.
After the first quarter, right, you're going to be like, what was that about?
Issues with the American economy. You know?
Now, what about the African Americans? I mean, we have been excelling and doing great things, and yet we still have a lot of disparities, health disparities. We have a lot of our men in jail. Yet I want to dispel a myth. There are a lot more African American men in college than they are in jail. I do want to dispel that myth, but in terms of the amount in jail, and in terms of our relationships, I just did a show on the state of black marriage. Hopefully, will the African American people rise again in 2010 with some positive statistics? What do you see on that?
I think, and this is where we get into the issue of consciousness and astrology. It really does depend on where we direct our consciousness. If we direct our consciousness solely on the condition of this, our country, then if that's our only way of looking at ourselves, and notice what I'm saying, the only way of looking at ourselves, then if a ship is sinking and we only think about being on the ship, we will sink with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are willing to recognize that we are a global people and can make global connections throughout the world, we're not going to sink.
Yes.
So
well, I mentioned that on the show of State of Black Marriage, and one of the Emory Law Journal, a professor wrote about our self-loathing as a people, and that being the key to why our relationships are not staying together or excelling is how we perceive ourselves. And I think self-love is important, and, you know, you cannot give love or receive love if you don't love yourself. If you don't feel that yourself, you are beautiful, you are worthy, you are intelligent, you know, who are you not to be? I think Marion Edelman, Children's Defense Fund founder, she wrote a little speech about, you know, being afraid not of our darkness, but really being afraid of our light.
Right.
You know, but we should not hide our light, because in shining brightly, we allow others to shine brightly. So I think Samuel is correct that how we view the situation of the sinking ship is very important. What else do you think might be coming up for the future of the African-American people here?
Well, I think we're going through a transformative and a very powerful transformative experience in our journey in America. I think the advocacy, the advent, I should say, of Barack Obama as president has set an important precedent in our history. And I think what it may start to highlight more for us is thinking about, you know, our commitment in the United States and how we can make it more, we can make it work. You know, mm-hmm. seeing ourselves as global players and not just, you know, dealing
local
with
local players.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how can people reach you if they're interested? And we have about 4 minutes left. How is there an email or
yes.
should I? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The way to reach me is return2thesource. That's return2thesource@gmail.com. And, you know, you can contact me for a consultation, additional questions, comments. Also, you can hit me up.
You're on Twitter? Are you on?
I'm on
Twitter or Facebook?
I'm on Twitter. And
okay.
Facebook. So on Facebook, it's Samuel F. Reynolds, SF Reynolds, and the same thing on Twitter, SF, F as in Fred, SF Reynolds. So
okay.
You can hit me there.
All right. I'm letting the people know in the chat room. We have some people in the chat room, so I just want to let them know about that.
You know.
I want to mention also about your Astrology Career Institute, and you have a website, astrologycareerinstitute.com.
That's right.
And then are you still doing the Zodiac Lounge?
The Zodiac Lounge has been on hiatus for about a year.
Okay.
If for the people in the New York City region who are looking or listening to this, I'm looking for a space. I'm looking for a space that could accommodate a good 50 to 100 people. Because the Zodiac Lounge doubles also as a birthday party celebrating the sign of the month, because we used to have it for the birthday party once a month.
Okay.
So we
okay.
would celebrate each particular sign of the Zodiac during the year. So if someone has a space, even you know, a large enough home that they're willing to open up to
host,
to host, definitely contact me.
Okay, again, let me just tell them your email is return2, thesource@gmail.com, and also he's on Facebook, Samuel F. Reynolds, and you said on Twitter, what's your
SF
mm-hmm.
Reynolds, yeah, SF Reynolds.
Okay, so on Twitter, SF Reynolds. I want to thank you so much for coming on today, and I want to wish you all the best in the coming year, and we will continue to talk, and you have to explain the 12-page reading that you gave me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to, that's a report. A
yes.
reading is usually an hour-long session where I talk to you about your chart. I record it, and I can send it to you as an MP3 for you to put on your favorite MP3 device like your iPod, your iPhone. And then you also get a 30-minute follow-up session with me within 30 days. So I just don't leave you hanging. You can get the recording. You may have some questions, and then we can talk more about those questions. And you also then get a 6-month forecast, which is even longer than the report I sent you.
Oh, my God.
So
well,
it's
a lot of work, people. He takes it very seriously. This is not a sham. I mean, this, again, he comes from academia, and he's taking this astrology, like you said, for the last 10 years, really researching and finding out what's real and what's not real. So I just want to thank you again, Samuel. Again, if people want to reach out to him, return2thesource@gmail.com. If you want to reach me, you want to email me at saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. I have another show coming up with a singer called Mingo at 11:30. So I want to thank Samuel for coming on this morning and thank the listeners for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you. I just one quick thing. I mean, if people want to reach me by phone, they can reach me at 484-727-8277.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's face it. Caring and planning for your baby begins long before you see a precious little face. Preventive health care, reducing stress, proper nutrition, continuous prenatal care. It's all a part of a plan for a healthy baby. Step up and learn what you can do today to ensure your baby's health tomorrow. Call 1-800-444-6472. After all, a healthy baby begins with you.